please, if you have time, look up Witch Rot Band Breakup 2018. One of the funniest paragraphs you're going to read all day. I promise you. It is hilarious. Anyways, first song of the set was Waiting for Blood by Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats off their album The Night Creeper, which came out 2015, I think. Anyways, another great band, psychedelic sludge coming out in the more modern times. But you will see me next week. Thank you for tuning in. This is KDVS Davis. Have a great day.
Taking a little interrupt us just before we hop into this. Give just a moment. You are currently listening to Thinking Thoughts. Thinking Thoughts with Lazy Lazzy. We're not quite thinking those thoughts yet. So just give us a nice moment here. But it's good to have everybody in the on the air. Good to have everybody on the air. Being back. It's great to be back, really. And toodaloo. All right, let's get straight into it. Pause your current thought, pin it up on the wall, and make space to think some thoughts alongside me, your host, Lazy Lazzy. You are listening to the Thinking Thoughts Show, a mental foray into the subjects both topical and important for inquiring minds should know. Before I continue, the following views presented in this hour do not reflect the views of KDVS, KDVS sponsors, or the University of California. There we go. Thinking Thoughts will be hosted every other Tuesday from 4:30 p.m. to 5 p.m., so be sure to stick on your calendar if you are interested. That of the next showtime, October the 8th. Again, that is 4:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. every other Tuesday, next show being October the 8th. I'm excited to see how this show shapes up and to see what topics will be covered by your host, Lazy Lazzy. Let's make sure that we're all tuned up here. Great. So, what is Thinking Thoughts about? Well, as one can guess, we'll be thinking some important thoughts. Today's discussion is the subject of choice and control over an individual's own body. You know, the style of Thinking Thoughts. Want to bring to the waves something important. Something that I think is important to know, and something that affects people. Again, this subject today is ultimately focused on the frightfully free notion of liberty over one's own persons, one's bodily autonomy, and the ways in which specifically women, people of color, and queer folks have been targeted by the GOP and the right in their collective struggle for the liberation of individuals' bodies. That liberty to do with one's own body, or the right to an abortion, has been a recent target, really a 40-year target, of conservatives' infringement of personal liberties since the unceremonious cutting down of Roe v. Wade that has come out of the Roberts Court. Abortion bans go hand in hand with a rise of maternal mortality rates, as life-saving operations are withheld from more at-risk mothers. This isn't just a matter of principle. This isn't just a matter of a difference in understanding of an issue. This is a health issue. This is a issue of infringing on people's liberties. This erosion of civil liberties dates back to the passage. This erosion of civil liberties dates even back to this passage of Roe v. Wade in 1973 and before, and the decades-long struggle to establish legal basis for the expansion of rights. Now, starting with the subject of liberty, I want to give a definition of liberty. Now, there's a lot of talk in this country from the right around defending personal liberties, around defending one's freedom from government. And, you know, this word liberty, I think it's so interesting how it can be thrown around without, you know, a proper description of it. Our description today, what I want to work off of, is that state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. That is, of course, freedom from some authority, some hierarchy, as one might be concerned, affecting one's way of life, behavior, or political views. So that's a pretty broad area. You know, one's way of life, is that what you eat? Is that what you do? Well, certainly, I would agree so. But it also extends to what one does with their time, with their labor, and with their own body. And I think that is really critical to think of when we're discussing bodily autonomy, when we're discussing the freedom to do what you want with your body. So the history behind Roe v. Wade is really a history of this consistent repression, these waves of disenfranchising women from being able to do anything about the lack of autonomy over their bodies. You know, let's lay down the scene around abortion. That is, in the 1800s in this country, the late 1800s saw a wave of abortion criminalization and of illegalization, starting with efforts made by the AMA, the American Medical Association, this male-dominated medical institution, which was formed in 1847, which saw to it to control when abortions could be carried out. The AMA, in the 1880s, assisted a wave of laws restricting abortion. And it was by 1880 that all states in this country had laws restricting abortion, barring exceptions for medical complications. Of course, to what discretion these exceptions are made is, as one can think, completely up to the policymakers, the enforcers of this. If there is no discretion on the doctor side, who's to say a person is ever actually treated? If one can say, no, this does not fall within our allowable exceptions. By 1910, this evaporation of rights was nationwide, with the criminalization justified by white men in power as a way to ensure that white women have more children following several decades of increasing immigration. This belief that preventing abortions will aid in continually, you know, producing more white children is a very racist belief, a very racist ideology, and is one that is, of course, having a resurgence. But to continue, by the 30s, the harm wrought by abortion bans was quite evident. 1930 alone, over 2,700 women died due to illegal abortions. That was a total of one-fifth of all maternal deaths in that year. To know that 2,700 number, that figure, that happens to be of all of these women who saw to it that their life or their ability to live was so threatened. And of course, we have no idea what all of these abortions, their reasons were. But they saw to it that it was important enough. And for all 2,700 of them, there was no safe protections for abortion. In reaction to these unsafe illegal abortions, Planned Parenthood held its first national conference on abortion, and doctors from around the country boldly called for abortion law reform. That is, again, abortion law reforms. This starts to come up here following the 30s as we get into the 60s. To address the health crisis that was an absence of safe legal abortion services. We arrived to the 60s with its momentum of the civil rights movement. We see a series of successive events which began to rally support for abortion law reform. The first of these was the response to the stories of birth defects brought by the drug thalidomide, a drug used to ease pregnancy symptoms. This drug ironically caused severe birth defects in the babies born by those mothers who had used it. 2 years later, the first national group supporting abortion was formed. This was the Association for the Study of Abortion, or ASA. This wave of support starts to build as we continue in the 60s. To approach reform incrementally, the ASA focused on those abortions that were medically necessary. At the same time, members did want a full repeal of abortion criminalization. There was this push through the acceptable exceptions, through what was medically necessary, to actually put that onus on the doctor so the doctor could help save these women's lives. But of course, we're still talking about the infringement of civil liberties, the ability to do what wants with one's body, the freedom, as we so espouse in this country, that we are promised. Of course, this time it still was not granted. There was also the San Francisco Nine, a group of nine doctors, sued for providing abortions to women who had been exposed to rubella, which followed was a wave of support for these doctors. By the late 60s and early 70s, there was a nationwide effort made to reform abortion laws. By 1970, 4 states had fully repealed abortion bans: Washington, Hawaii, Alaska, and New York. 13 others reformed theirs around medical exceptions. 1970 also saw the first health center dedicated to abortion services established by Planned Parenthood in New York. So that brings us to 1973. So we have this initial occupation, Big Shot. Vilification of abortion, that men should see to it the use of women's bodies, that men should have control over what women do. And as we continued, we started to see those effects that led to a denouncement, a backlash, because, of course, these abortion bans only serve to harm women and to harm families. So by 1973, we have enough of a wave of dedication to the reform of abortion law in this country. And so from this, the Berger Court, 1973, that was the Chief Justice, I believe, ruled on Roe v. Wade, ruling that the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment protects the right to an abortion. Now, let me read to you this 14th Amendment, because I think it'll help illustrate how true this is, how it comes from this protection of liberty that we have enshrined in our Constitution, that we have not enshrined, but we've added through amendments. So, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge to the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. Enforce any law, shall make any law, abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens. We're assuming free citizens, as we all are. Nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Now, there's two more portions here: that protection of liberty, no state shall deprive any person of liberty without due process of law, And that second portion, which I think really speaks to how targeted this is, again, to women, to people of color, to women of color, and to queer folk. This, the to deny nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. That comes out of this 14th Amendment, which is, again, the basis of Roe v. Wade. That precedent shows that when we come to modern day, we'll get to this in a little bit, how targeted this really is. This is not caring about if it fits with the 14th Amendment. The repealing of Roe v. Wade does not fit to, does it protect, and is it equal in all aspects? Of course, following this, there were still attacks made on the ability to get an abortion. The Hyde Amendment, namely, in the 76, was created by Representative Henry Hyde. In his own words, "I would certainly like to prevent, if I could legally, anybody having an abortion, a rich woman, a middle-class woman, or a poor woman. Unfortunately, the only vehicle available is the Medicaid bill." That is the Hyde Amendment, which was prevented federal dollars from being used in government insurance programs like Medicaid for abortion services. So again, this is specifically harming who is using Medicaid? Who is using Medicaid? It is those who are in lower income communities, those who struggle to make enough to afford an abortion. So this is naturally going to be people who are already struggling. And it really comes across as misery being the point. In our current situation, this erosion that has come to 2022 and continues in the many laws passed by states criminalizing abortion, with the Roberts Court, the three justices assigned specifically for the purpose of overturning Roe v. Wade, that is Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Comey, Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, I'm forgetting his name, which used a justification from a 13th century document that described the illegality of poisoning a fetus in a woman. Like, this is not based on any built precedent of what the founders and amendments of our Constitution have set as precedent. You know, it's real, just, you know, manipulation to constantly ignore concerns that, oh, Brett Kavanaugh or these other justices will focus on repealing Roe v. Wade, and then to then, of course, push for it. And they state that this new ruling allows for some discretion, ignoring the reading of the 14th Amendment as a repudiation of conditions of slavery, which includes, of course, the coercion, the sexual coercion of bodily autonomy and of that loss of bodily autonomy. And it just creates future questions. Who's at fault if the fetus dies and the mother then dies? If you're saying that it opens the way for you know, an abortion to count as a homicide. You know, how can you then push this further? Does this not apply to both sexes? Is masturbation no longer protected as you're potentially killing lives? That's an incredibly, you know, stupid thing to imagine, but it reads from this ruling. What about, you know, the idea of you could save a life with your organs? So actually, if you don't donate your organs, you are, you know, breaking the law in some way. Does this not open the door for it? And of course, stated by the Roberts Court themselves, other potential rulings include those involved with contraception and same-sex marriage. This is just a line of, you know, the essential points that have been so spoken by GOP and the right They're clearly telling us their plan here. So I want to get to the consequences of this, the actual tangible consequences of this, because real people have been harmed since the overturning of Roe v. Wade. There was, of course, the Ohio 10-year-old girl who was pregnant after, I can only assume, was rape, who had to travel to another state just to get an abortion. 10-year-old girl. They want to say that this doesn't happen. It happens. It will happen if you deprive people from medical care, if you deprive people from their bodily autonomy. The deaths of two black women, the Candy Miller and Amber Nicole Thurman, which was within this year, I think Candy Miller was 2022. But both of these were preventable deaths that required life-saving abortions, but because of the uncertainty of jail time, either these women did not pursue an abortion or were refused one. So I want to end on a return to this point of liberty. You know, this discussion we have about who we are in our country, you know, this constant discussion that America is a place of freedom, when in a constant way, you have these longstanding plots. You know, the repealing of Roe v. Wade was not something that nobody could see coming. It was something that was planned for years and years to enshrine a Republican court, to over time, you know, slowly erode that split between a nonpartisan court and one that is purely picks for a reason, for a party. And in this loss of liberty, we need to really recognize, you know, if we as people who want to acknowledge are deserving of rights to liberty, to bodily autonomy, that this is a targeted, focused, intentional attack on people's liberty, on people's ability to, you know, decide for themselves. You know, I also want to close with, you know, a discussion of the fact that as these bans, as these laws continue to come in place, there is no room for denying what their effects are. That is of death, that is of further misery, and of the ignorance of saying that this is for a child's life, when one is coming from a place of ignoring, you know, child services, of not providing, you know, full school meals, free school meals, when all it really is using a decision, using a political, really medical decision that has become political from the GOP's incessant complaining, and taking it as a way to then really, really help carve away people's rights, really take away from a group of people's ability to choose for themselves. Now, I want to address the feeling of this quarter. You know, this quarter is not going to be free of the fact that it is an election year. It's a very stressful thing to think about, particularly with our current, you know, what we're seeing with all this voter disenfranchisement. You know, what we're seeing with all of these very, very, you know, this concerning buildup around what will happen this November. And I want to say, for anybody listening, it's okay to be stressed. It's okay to be concerned. It's okay to feel like something is wrong. You know, we often on the on the left will attempt to stay more civil generally, and to have this attitude of taking the high road. You know, I think that's something that Obama said back in during his run. But it's okay to say to others that you're angry. It's okay to say that. And you know, in listening today, there are things that I've read that have made me angry, you know, and it's important to put it in perspective of how these things impact us. These are not remote laws that affect far off people. These are affecting family members of, you know, friends of friends. These are affecting, daughters and wives who are losing their freedom to choose and their ability to do with, you know, what they want to with their bodies, their ability to actually have control over their own bodies. And I think in recognizing this stress, I think it's also important to know that in discussion, in talking about these things, just as people get stressed, there is a certain relief of knowing how, you know, you feel, knowing the stance of others. So this has been Lazy Lazy, Thinking Thoughts. I hope you've enjoyed the discussion. Maybe find a nice meadow or something, a nice forest, if possible, something relaxing, more relaxing, of course, if interested, because sometimes you need to de-stress. So again, I've enjoyed having you on, having you listen, and thank you again. This has been Thinking Thoughts by Lazy Lazy.
To come along, I would love. guess it's in here with me. To be here I come back, but back is no place to be. The moon, she serves to soothe me. The sun waits to remove me to another place. Tells me why I'm going, it's what I'm going through. Some breeze caress me, a frozen road will best me. The night is long. I was a cry for help. Loneliness was my front door. Come and go as you please, for I don't live there no more. Aphrodite, in your see-through nightie, I can see through you. I can see through you. It had to.